in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in His justice and love, I have written a work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of His will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion, and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from a Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and continue the lecture, the stranger. Just as the spiritual, with great power, appears to have a magnetically attracting and holding effect upon the substantiate, ethereal, and gross material, so in a similar and much more powerful way, whatever has its origin above the spiritual in subsequent creation must exert an influence on everything that lies below it. This is perfectly natural. It could not be otherwise. However, it only resembles the power of attraction in its manifestation. The power of attraction in the ordinary sense is effective only among homogeneous species. But here it is a question of the existing power of the stronger in a purely objective and most noble sense. It is not to be thought of in an earthly human way. For in the world of gross matter, this law, like everything else, has been quashed in its effect through the actions of men. The natural effect of this dominant power reveals itself outwardly like a magnet, attracting, uniting, holding together, and controlling. Now, because of this law, men too felt themselves magnetically drawn to this veiled, more powerful stranger from on high, although often resisting him with enmity. The thick veils he wore around him could not entirely prevent the emanation of this power that was alien on earth. While on the other hand, this power could not yet radiate freely, either to exert that irresistible might which it has after the falling away of the covering veils in the hour of fulfillment. This brought conflict among the intuitions of men. The very being of the stranger was enough to awaken in those who met him hopes of the most varied kinds, which, alas, because of attitude, were always brought down to merely earthly wishes, which they nourished and fostered within themselves. The stranger, however, could not heed such wishes, since his hour had not yet come. Thereby, many were often greatly disappointed through their own imaginings, and, strange to say, even felt themselves deceived. They never reflected that, in reality, it was only their own selfish expectations which were not fulfilled, and indignant about this, through their disappointment, they laid the responsibility for it on the stranger. Yet he did not call them, but they forced themselves upon and clung to him because of this law which was unknown to them, and they often became a heavy burden to him, with which he journeyed through those years on earth that were ordained for him as his time of learning. Men on earth perceived something mysterious and unknown about him, which they could not explain. They sensed a hidden might which they did not understand, and in the end, through their ignorance, they naturally suspected only intentional suggestion, hypnotism, and magic, according to the nature of their lack of understanding. Whereas there was no question of any, their original attachment, the consciousness of being strangely attracted, then very often turned into hatred, which expressed itself in moral stone throwing and attempts to defile him from whom they had expected much too soon. No one took the trouble to make a just self-examination, which would have revealed that the stranger, living apart with different views and ideals, was the one made use of by those who crowded towards him, but not that he had taken advantage of anyone, as the obtruders, in their bitterness over the non-fulfillment of their for a life of each themselves and others to believe. Blindly, they repaid the friendliness shown them with senseless hate and enmity, similar to the deed of Judas. But the stranger on earth had to bear everything patiently, for it was only a quite natural consequence of his existence, so long as mankind was still living in error. By this alone, he, to whom all wrongdoing and wrong thinking were entirely alien, was able to recognize what art men in their nature could become capable of. At the same time, however, such experiences also gave him the necessary hardening, which slowly laid itself like an armor around his otherwise ever-present helpfulness, and thus created a gulf between that and mankind. Through the wounds inflicted upon his soul, which brought about a separation, and which can be healed only through the complete change in mankind. These wounds inflicted on him have formed from that hour the gulf which can be bridged only by that man who wholly follows the road of the laws of God. This alone can serve as a bridge. Everyone else mashed to pieces in the abyss, for there is no other way over it, and to remain standing before it means destruction. At the exact hour, even before the end of this arduous time of learning, the meeting came to pass with that companion who, as a part of him, was to journey with him through earthly life, to participate in the great task according to divine ordinance. Herself a stranger on earth, she joyfully entered the will of God through her own recognition and gratefully merged with it. Only then came the time for the called ones, who had once solemnly pledged to God their loyalty for service. The granting of their petition had been carefully carried out. At the appropriate time, they were incarnated on earth. Through faithful guardians, they were equipped in the earthly sense with everything they needed for the fulfillment of their respective tasks. It was brought, given to them so noticeably that they simply could not consider it other than as a gift, as a loan for the hour of fulfillment of their former promise. At the precise moment, they came into contact with the envoy through his word, and then also personally. But many of them, although they sensed the call and intuitively perceived something unusual in their souls, had meanwhile, in the course of their art life, permitted themselves to be so ensnared by purely earthly matters, and to some extent even by the darkness, that they could not summon up the strength to conquer themselves for the true service, to fulfill which they were permitted to come to earth for this great time. A few did show a faint willingness to fulfill, yet their earthly faults held them back from it. Unfortunately, there were also others who certainly set out on the path of their mission, but who, from the very beginning, sought first of all to gain earthly advantage for themselves. Thereby, even among those of earnest volition, there were several who expected him whom they had to serve to smooth their way to the fulfillment instead of the reverse. Only a few isolated ones really showed themselves capable of growing into their task. To these was then given in the hour of fulfillment 10 times greater strength, so that the gaps were no longer perceptible, and in loyalty they became capable of accomplishing even more than the great throng could ever have achieved. It was with grief that the stranger on earth saw the havoc among the group of the called ones. That was one of the most bitter experiences for him. Much as he had learned, much as he suffered at the hands of men, before this last fact, he stood uncomprehending, for he found no excuse whatever for this failure. In his conception, a called one who, in the granting of his petition, was specially guided and incarnated, could do no other than faithfully carry out his task in the joyous fulfillment. For what other purpose was he on earth? Why had he been faithfully guarded up to the hour when the envoy needed him? Everything had been given to him solely for the sake of his necessary service. So it was that the stranger, on meeting the first called ones, put his full trust in them. He regarded them only as friends, who simply could not think, sense, and act in any other way than in the most steadfast loyalty. Was it not the highest, the most precious privilege that could fall to the lot of a human being? The possibility never entered his mind that even called ones could have become impure during their time of waiting, it was inconceivable to him that any human being, in view of such grace, could wantonly neglect and trifle away the real purpose of his earth life. With the faults clinging to them, they only appeared to him as being in need of great help. And so the dreadfulness of a recognition struck him all the more severely when he had to experience that even in such exceptional cases, the human spirit is not reliable, and that it shows itself unworthy of the highest blessing, even with the most faithful spiritual guidance. Deeply shaken, he suddenly saw before him mankind in all their unspeakable inferiority and depravity. They filled him with disgust. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grail Land, Ijo Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. We now enter the interactive segment of this program. For genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-08 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. For your text messages, 0033-315-7493. Alright, we have some text messages here. Somebody writes, please explain the concept of the story of Abraham who was to sacrifice his son and later used a ram. Well, in this instance, you know, the Almighty Creator said that thou shalt not kill. So the Almighty could not have told Abraham to kill his son in sacrifice. But Abraham thought the best way he could show his obedience to the Creator was to sacrifice his son, but the Lord showed him a better way, and he saw the ram, which he now used instead. But the Almighty Creator could not have said, Abraham, kill your son. He couldn't have said that. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Mike is calling from Abule Egba. Hello, Mike.
Yes, Mr. Bola.
Yes.
I just listened to the message you doubt.
Yes.
I was trying to link up, you know, that higher being with the human being. Is it in any way connected? I'm a Christian. Whether probably that higher being has to do with Christ, you know, what Christ came to do on earth for mankind.
Which higher being are you talking about?
You talked about a higher being who has a link with the. He is trying to. From what you read.
Okay, the lecture. You're talking about a stranger. The stranger on earth. That's the name. The lecture title of the lecture was "Stranger on Earth." Stranger,
exactly.
Yes. So, what's the question?
And what I'm trying to say is, does it mean we link with Christ? Christ.
Okay.
Christ.
All right. Yes. When you examine the great message, you will now be able to understand the connection between that stranger and our Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to examine the great message to know that connection. Now, to a message here. Somebody writes, what are the three things you said last week that Prophet Muhammad came to the world to do? Muhammad was permitted to bring a message to a people, and principally, he told them three things. First of all, to tell them about the teachings of Jesus, which by that time was already distorted. Secondly, to tell them about the Creator, and thirdly, to remind them of the coming of the Judge, who will come at the end of the come and judge the world. Ndubisi is calling from Abuja. Hello, Ndubisi.
Hello.
Yes, you are on.
Hello.
You are on.
Alive.
Yes.
Started.
Okay. Go on. Yes, all right. There is life after death. This earth where we are is a short time of schooling. We are here to learn, to experience, to mature in spirit. When we leave the flesh, the soul will enter into the beyond, and we continue to experience and to mature, provided it makes use of the opportunities there. So life continues after the death of the physical body. The physical body is only a cloak enveloping the soul, and within the soul itself is the real being, which is the spirit. So when we leave the flesh, the soul enters into the beyond, also continuing to experience. Those who do not believe that life continues after the death of the physical body, they have made a very bad bargain for themselves, because that belief, that conviction they have that life does not continue after death of the physical body, will affect that body which they must use in the beyond, because the spirit does not have the power to abolish life after the death of that physical body. It does not have the power to abolish the life. So when it enters into the beyond, because it does not believe that life continues, that ethereal body that it must use there will be blind, because he does not want to see. It will be deaf, because he does not want to hear. It will be a cripple, because he has not exercised the conviction which alone can exercise or have effect on the limbs. And so the situation such a person finds himself is even worse than a newborn child here on earth. You know that a newly born child is so helpless. You have to do everything for that child. The condition of that person who does not believe that life continues after the death of the physical body is much worse than that of a newborn child. But it is because if he opens his eyes and sees what is around him, he must notice, he must see it, that life continues. This earth life is only a stage in the development of the human spirit germ. All right, okay, let's take another text message. And somebody asks, what are the activities of a soul when it goes to the beyond? Are there schools, workplaces, and social activities as we do on earth? First of all, you must remember it has been written, as above, so below. So everything that we see below here, that is in the material, is a very coarse representation of that which is above. So also in the beyond, as we have houses here, roads, landscapes, mountains, seas, and so on, also in the beyond is there. There are houses, there are landscapes, there are trees, there are animals. It is just the same. But the beauty of the environment becomes more and more ennobled the higher man rises towards the luminous heights. Likewise also, for souls who descend into the dark plains of the beyond, there are also houses, there are trees, there are mountains, but the beauty is very ugly, of course. The lower a person descends, the uglier it is. The physical body itself is very ugly. The environment is very ugly, and so on. Chukwuma is calling from Nasarawa. Hello, Chukwuma.
Hello, sir.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
I have a question.
Go on.
The question is this. The Bible says that the woman shall not wear man dress, and the man shall not wear woman dress. Then my question is this. If a woman wear trousers inside and wear other clothes, cover the trousers, who are they deceiving?
All right. Now you have said a very important thing there. Woman should dress like woman. Woman should not emulate man in his dressing. And man should dress like man. Man should not dress like woman. There are reasons for this. In creation, the sexes are very separate. Male masculine activity is separate from feminine activity. And it is the nature of the activity that also determines the form, the shape, the particular soul has taken. The nature of woman is a delicate one. She is supposed to, because of her delicacy, she has the task to absorb the very delicate power of the Almighty Creator. Man, because of his nature, is quasing. He cannot absorb this power directly. It is woman who can absorb it. And she's supposed to, after absorbing it, pass it on to man and a particular environment. It is this that brings about ennoblement. But when the woman fails in her duty, in her task, either trying to think like a man or trying to dress like a man, then she will lose that delicate, intuitive ability which she has been graciously endowed, and tilting towards the masculine. And there are so many consequences of this. First of all, she starts having pregnancy problems, she starts having delivery problems, and after a certain time, she becomes sterile. She will not be able to have children, because the delicate intuitive ability, this same delicate intuition, is also the bridge the soul needs to use to cross from the beyond into this world. So it is wrong for woman to emulate man. Francis is calling from Abuja. Hello, Francis.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, hello. I want to ask a question.
Go on, please.
Yeah, is it a thing for a Christian to fight the war?
To fight war. All right. Now, when you talk about war, the issue here is, what is the cause of the war? It's also a noble profession for somebody to be a soldier, to protect the people by preparing to lay down his own life in order for the people to be protected from or against enemies. So we must understand what is the issue for the war. But you know that if a people stand aright and protect themselves accordingly, then nothing can happen to them. But unfortunately, in this world we stand today, everything is wrong. We have disobeyed the laws. We don't even know the laws. And so that is why today there is confusion everywhere. The wars are fought in most cases not because of protecting the people, but mostly of greed, avarice, and then trying to take from others what does not belong to them. Wars are fought on such basis. But now, a message has come to enlighten human beings so that we now know how we should act in order to become pleasing to our Creator. Okay, another text message is here. Okay, yes, I was still talking about, you say, the activities of the soul in the beyond. Yes, so now there are various planes of the beyond. In the planes of the medium gross matter or fine gross matter, which is also much like what you have in the quasi's physical art here, the condition of living there is similar here, in that now here we have day and night, we sleep at night and so on. So also it is in the planes of medium and fine gross matter. But in the ethereal world is different, and in those regions it is all day. The higher one goes, the brighter the environment is. So it is not a day and night affair there. But when you read the great message, you understand better. Abubakar is calling from Iju. Hello, Abubakar.
Yes, good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
I'm just calling that. I just wanted to find out exactly,
yeah,
if you can expatiate on those aspects of a woman, you know, trying to play the role of a man. What exactly are those responsibilities she tries to take over, which, like you say, makes her less feminine and being unable to act on the husband what she's supposed to.
All right. Now, the woman is the more refined in her activity, while the man is quasi in his activity. The woman should keep to that activity that is assigned to her. She should not think like man. She should not act like man or dress like man or emulate man in his activity. For example, public life is not the arena for woman. That is the arena for man. But today, you see women in the public life, and then they are even hankering for more space in public life. That is a portion of the activity of the woman. But there are very grave consequences that attaches to that. First of all, she will not be able to stand in that place assigned to her. She is not as receptive as she should be. Then the people cannot receive the power of the Almighty as they are supposed to receive it. Then there will be decline and there will be problem, which is what is troubling the world today. Basically, woman has failed. All right, Kelechukwu is also calling from Marabai. Hello, Kelechukwu. Hello, are you there?
Doctor.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
My name is Felix.
Yes, go on, please.
I'm calling from Araba in Nassau.
Okay.
Well, first and foremost, I'm asking for the prudent way you are handling the program.
Thank you so much.
I'm also amazing. I have two questions for you, doctor. Can you hear me?
Please, go on.
Doctor,
I'm hearing. Go on, please.
All right. The first question I want to ask is how will one know that he have the light to ignite the darkness to advance in life?
All right. Sir.
The second question is, what will we human be? I mean, basically, consciousness has been subtracted for the mind of men. Can you hear me?
Yes, go on. All right. Okay, now to your first question, how to have the light. You know, there is only one way, and that is to recognize the will of God, to recognize the laws of creation. There are two ways through which the Almighty speaks to mankind. Through his laws, which are adamantine and incorruptible, they have been there from eternity. And it's these laws that govern the entire creation. When we know the laws and obey them, we then become pleasing to him. Then the other way through which the Creator speaks to us is through his messengers, the word that he sent his messengers. So these are the two ways. But unfortunately, both ways we don't understand. We don't know them. And most times we don't even want to know them. So our first duty is to have the yearning to know. For this reason, a message has come for those who are genuinely seeking. And that is a great message. Barrister Dan is calling from Gono. Yes?
Hello?
Yes, you are on.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Barrister Dan Okuda. I'm calling from Gono.
Okay, go on.
So, I have two questions for you, sir.
Please, go on.
The first question is this, is Jesus God? Then, secondly, my second question is this, I've been going through all the volumes of Great Message. So,
yes.
I discovered a symbol in that publication. There's a snake in a round shape encircling the word H. So, what does it mean? What does that symbol signify in Great Message?
What's that?
Those are my questions.
The ring. Encircling A. All right. The first question. You say whether Jesus Christ is God. Of course, Jesus Christ is not God. He is the Son of God. And he says so several times. Even when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, did he not start with our Father who art in heaven? So from there you know that he was referring to someone who sent him. Many places in the Bible he was talking about he that sent him. When you see me, then you see the Father. I am in the Father. The issue is that people have not come to the recognition of the fact that there is one God, but he works in threefold. As God the Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you can imagine it as a man with his two arms. The right arm stands for love, Jesus. The left arm stands for justice. That is the Holy Spirit. But these two arms cannot be independent. They can only be functional when they are part of the body. But they can act independently. So that is the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the love of God, the inborn Son. While the Holy Spirit, or Emmanuel, is the justice of God, the outborn Son. Outborn Son means that Son that was born out into out of the divine kingdom, standing at the boundary of the divine, facing the void, and through his radiation bringing about creation. And that was what was written in the scripture, that and the Spirit of God hovers above the waters. The Spirit of God here is the Holy Spirit that was born out from the divine kingdom and then from through his radiation bringing about creation. So that's that. And the second question, the sign on the great message, a snake biting his tail, forming O, and within that O we have A. The snake biting his tail is an ancient symbol standing for eternity. No beginning, no end. And then the hey there, of course, standing for the, so you see the A and the O, the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega is actually the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, many people, due to lack of knowledge, are always ascribing this to Jesus Christ. When you read the Revelations, in Revelation chapter 1, you will now know that there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, because therein it is stated, greetings from him who was, who is, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is a different personality from that personality that is referred to as he who was, who is, who was, who is, and who is coming. That personality that is called who was, who is, and who is coming is the Holy Spirit, or the Son of Man. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha means that the first to step out of the divine plane of radiation, stepping into creation and bringing about creation. And Omega, meaning that should creation fall into ruin, it will also be the last to remain, to return back to the plane, the divine plane of radiation. That is the meaning of Alpha and Omega. And that refers to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, Jesus Christ promised, the Son of Man, is also given so many names, the Bridegroom, and so on. So it is the duty of the human spirit to recognize him and to know the difference between Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and Emmanuel, who is the will of God. Both are part of the Almighty Creator, God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel. That's the Holy Trinity. All right. Now let me take the other question of Mr. Kelechukwu from Maraba. He was talking about consciousness. Now, you see, we human spirit started its journey as an unconscious spirit germ in paradise. That is, as a spirit seed that was not yet conscious of its existence, but he had all the abilities, all the talents inside. It could not develop in paradise because the pressure there was too much for it. It needed a cooler place, far, far away from the light, the primordial light. And it was for that reason that the material world was developed as a training ground for this spirit germ. In much the same way as when you want to grow maize, you take the grain of maize and put it in the soil. The grain needs the soil. Then we put water there, the sunlight and everything, for it to germinate so that it can grow. So also, the spirit seed of man needed the soil of the material world in which to grow and germinate and develop all its talents. The experiences goes through there. So that is why when Jesus Christ was telling the people about the sower, he said, a sower went forth to sow. These statements are creation events. So the sower going forth to sow was as if the hand of the Holy Spirit was scattering the seed of the human spirit germs into the material world, so that these spirit germs sinking into the material world, they cannot grow. And it gave very many scenarios. He said some of the seeds got lost in the ground. Just like when you plant maize, the one that does not grow out of the soil will be destroyed inside. It's already lost. And those that were able to sprout out from the soil, then they become full ear of corn. At the harvest time, you take the full ear and separate it from the dead hair. Then after that, you now separate the chaff from the wheat. So these are processes of separations. So the parable our Lord Jesus Christ gave concerning the sower are creation events spanning thousands of years. But he gave it as parable so that that is the only way people could understand it. When you read the great message, you have a greater perspective, understanding of what Jesus Christ meant with these parables. So it is only in the process of the spirit germ gaining experiences through his friction with his fellow human beings and the environment that from paradise can now become real abilities which help him to return back home. Andy is calling from Abuja. Hello, Andy. Hello, Andy. Are you there? All right, okay. Andy should call back. The telephone numbers again: 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Another caller is here. Osho is calling from Ipaja. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Yes. My question is this, doctor.
All right.
Yeah. You just mentioned that in the fine gross matter and the medium gross matter, that there are so many places, beautiful places and ugly places there. My question is, when one departs this earth surface,
yes,
will he be born like a child over there, or you will just start life like as an adult over there?
Okay. Now, when the man dies, you know, he just simply shed the physical body. That's all. That's just the meaning of death. The physical body, which is the outermost cloak enveloping the spirit of man here in the material world, he just shed it. The inner cloaks are still there. So he enters into the beyond, to that particular environment that is homogeneous to it, as he is. That is, depending on how he has lived his life. For example, somebody who has been living his life believing in the laws of the Almighty and acting accordingly is already making the ethereal body, or even the fine gross material body he will use in the next world, to become more refined, beautiful, ennobled. And if, on the other hand, is following ignoble activities, body also will become ugly and also go to that region where it belongs. So the person, the age that person is, it depends on how, what is soul, what actually is inner spirit has advanced to. So basically, what it is that the human being is always striving towards the age of youth, adolescent youth. That is how, in the progression, the soul or the spirit of man is tending towards. You understand? Whereas the one that is not even going in that direction at all, who is actually doing that which is bad, apart from the fact that his body, ethereal body, is very ugly, he sinks into the dark planes of the ethereal world, which is called the hell. The inner being there is also of immature person. All right. Okechukwu is calling from Ojo Alaba. Good evening.
Why
is why is what?
God created
death.
Death.
Yes. Okay. Now, death itself is a fact of life. You see, it's because we do not understand the whole process. That's why we look at death as if something bad. We are here for a purpose. You must know that this art life is not this life art is not our permanent. It's only a temporary place for us to grow and develop and mature. And because the art itself is not a permanent place, eventually we must leave the flesh. And there is no way one can leave the flesh and continue his journey without dying first. You have to die, and death is not something that should be afraid of, provided one has prepared himself beforehand. So it is not a punishment, it's just a natural process. And at the time a child is born, is already determining what the lifetime allotted to him to carry out his assignment here, and which assignment is to correct his former mistakes, to improve himself, and then to stride on. And it can come at any time, whether you are a young person or an old person. The moment you finish your assignment, you must go, so that you can start yet another cycle in the beyond. And if the opportunity presents itself for you to reincarnate, then you come. So that is how it is. Death is a natural process. That is also why when somebody dies, absolute silence should reign in the death chamber. No loud lamentation should burst out from the relatives or the or those who are standing there, because such a thing will disturb the soul who is on its necessary journey into the beyond. Okay, Okochukwu is calling back. Sorry. Andy is calling from Abuja. Hello, Andy. All right, the line went off. Okay, let's take some more text messages here. How is the day of the Lord going to look like? The day of the Lord actually refers to the day of judgment. It is already, as you are seeing it now, we all stand in that long prophesied final judgment, in which every human being must show his true color. When it was stated, all that is dead shall be awakened so that it may pass judgment upon itself. The prophecy has been misunderstood by man, and then it has been misinterpreted to mean all the dead shall be awakened. The prophecy was not talking about all the dead, but all that is dead. That is all that is within every human being. At this time of the increased pressure of the light, everything that is within everyone is coming to light. Whether it is good or evil, everyone must show his true color. And that is why we are seeing what we are seeing in the world today. All that is inside, that is without movement, is now energized, so that in the process of coming into activity, it will receive the just blow of the judgment it deserves. Oh, Kingsley is calling from Agbado. Hello, Kingsley.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah. What I just want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, the question is, you know, about mad people.
About?
Because the mad people.
All right.
Yes, amongst the normal people. You know?
Okay.
Because I just want to believe maybe the kind of life or the kind of experience they have for being mad is quite different from the normal.
All right, somebody that is mad, usually the fault lies with the mad person himself. For example, when you talk of possession, when a discarnate human soul is trying to dispute the ownership of the body of somebody who is here on earth with him, that is to say, another soul that has no physical body is now trying to occupy the body of somebody who is here, and the two of them are fighting. So it can lead to what you call this madness and possession. So the fault actually lies with him. Because if he is spiritually and he has not put his hand into things that can make his natural protection to be destroyed, then it is not possible for another bodiless human soul to dispute ownership of his body with him. And many people who are even considered to be very sharp intellectually have souls that are actually languid, sleeping, giving room for opportunity for other souls to come in and try to dispute ownership. But the one that is trying to take possession is burdening himself also, and so the two are linked. And then when this one dies, they continue their journey together in the beyond, and they have to solve their own. When you know, there are also things that many people do. For example, occult training. Those who do astral travel, they expose themselves to such dangers that can lead to insanity or death. Or when somebody engages in occult practices, these are the things that result. So through the knowledge in the great message, you are now told the dangers of all these things, so that you know what to do and move to become pleasing to the Almighty Creator by living according to his laws. Alright, we are now coming gradually to the end of today's transmission. Now, for those who may still wish to interact with us after this program, our website is www.truthoflifradio.com, and our email is info@truthoflifradio.com. The telephone numbers 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. All right, our last caller, Kingsley. Oh, Emmanuel from Igado, Igondo. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, my question is, in the Old Testament,
yes,
the Bible says that a virgin shall conceive and bear a child.
Yes.
And the child should be called Emmanuel.
Yes.
But in the New Testament, when the child was given birth to, he was called Jesus rather than Emmanuel.
Yes, the reason is that there are two prophecies. Isaiah prophesied the birth of Emmanuel. The angels made the announcement concerning the birth of Jesus. These are two prophecies requiring two personalities and two different fulfillments. The prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Emmanuel refers to the one who will come at the end of time to judge the world. But before that event could come, it was seen from the light that human beings were sinking into the darkness. So for the sake of the few, as an act of emergency, Jesus was born. Jesus is the Son of God, while Emmanuel is the Son of Man. But Matthew, the evangelist, in his own way, taught that the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. He did not even see that the two names are different. So it was Matthew who brought about this confusion. So Emmanuel is the will of God, the justice of God, the Son of Man, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth Jesus Christ promised to send, and Jesus Christ, who is the love of God. These are the two sons of the Almighty Creator. All right. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrishin, author of the Grail Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.